We are thrilled to say that joining us now, composer Mike Post produced Kenny Rogers' first three albums, and he's responsible for so many of the theme songs that you love, multi-Grammy and Emmy-winning, and his work is all over our action and adventure TV theme song bracket. All of them that are advancing are basically Mike Post songs. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. So nice to have you.
Sarah, so nice to be here. I'm a huge sports fan. I live and die by ESPN on a daily basis. not so much on the radio, but for sure on TV. I never miss First Take, and so I guess I'm a huge fan of your network.
Awesome. Well, this is an ambitious crossover event then. We've got our sports-loving composer. So we're doing this bracket challenge, and your music is all over it. I'm curious, when you're offered up a concept for a show, where do you begin in trying to figure out what the instrumentation is and what the vibe is for what the music's going to be?
Well, it happens in a kind of a funny way. I've been such a lucky guy. My three best friends in this business for over 45 years were the three guys that made the most and the best shows, starting with Stephen Cannell and Stephen Botchko, and then Dick Wolf. And unfortunately, Cannell and Botchko passed away, but Dick Wolf's still ticking, and so am I. And the way the process works is different with each one of those guys. Usually, Cannell would call me up and say something like, "Hey, you got a minute?" And I go, "Yeah." And he'd say, "Can I tell you a story?" And I go, "Okay, so we're going to do the Dirty Dozen. And it's all guys that were in Vietnam, and the head of it's a guy named Hannibal, and there's a black guy, you know, like a sort of a Mr. T type guy." And I'm going, "Holy moly, what is this?" You know, and then of course that ends up being the A-Team, or almost the same way with Rockford Files and all the rest of the Cannell shows. He called me up and told me a story. Botchko, on the other hand, sent me a script and said, "Here, read this and tell me what you think." And then Dick Wolf, you know, amazing guy that he is, genius that he is, you know, called me up and said, can we get together for a drink? I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I've got this idea." This is in the 80s. And he says, "You know, our television dramas, like you've been doing with Botchko and Cannell, they're not selling real well in syndication. So I've got this idea. The first half hour, we'll do the crime and the cops and the arrests. And the second half hour, we'll do the trial and the prosecution and the jury and all that." I go, "Whoa, whoa, you're going to shoot it as an hour, but you're going to syndicate it in half hours." He goes, "Exactly." I said, "What are you going to call that?" And he said, "I think we'll call it Law and Order."
Oh, yeah.
I said, "That's a great idea." And I said, "I'm in." And he goes, "Okay." And I said, "What do you think about music?" He goes, "I don't know anything about music." He said, but write something that defines New York City." I said, "Defines New York City? You mean sort of like Rhapsody in Blue? That's already been done, you know?" And he goes, "Yeah, do Rhapsody in Blue. Definitely do Rhapsody in Blue." I'll go, "Oh, my God." So that's, I get my marching orders in the strangest ways,
yeah.
You know, and thank goodness I've been in business with guys that were not only smart and talented, but got pretty lucky. So some of that luck rubbed off on me.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, I feel like there's a million different questions I could ask you. I think one that is very timely and relevant is with the passing of the legend that was Kenny Rogers, guy you worked with and produced his first three albums and recorded some really great stuff over the years with. What type of guy was Kenny Rogers?
You know, from Houston, Texas, really kind, really sweet, talented. But to be really honest with you, first of all, I got to correct some of the misinformation that's out there on the internet. I only produced the first two edition albums,
okay.
And I never produced Kenny Rogers as a solo act. Just Kenny Rogers in the first edition.
Mm-hmm. That's two more than we did, Mike.
Yeah.
And that's still very, very cool.
Jordan,
yes.
There's still time. There's still time, buddy.
Stop slacking.
You can get lucky. You know what
there
happened to me. All right. So what the deal on Kenny was, we started this, you know, sort of folk rock group called the First Edition, and we filled the first three slots, a male writer singer named Mike Settle, another male writer named Terry Williams, and a wonderful female singer named Thelma Camacho. And we kept looking around for a baritone. We couldn't find one. And finally somebody said, what about Kenny? You know, Kenny had been with the New Christy Minstrels, which were a big folk group at that time. I went, I don't know. I mean, I like Kenny as a guy, but I don't know. So that's how bright I am. I kind of went, I don't know. I'm not sure, you know.
It worked out for both
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, listen, you know, it worked out really good, and he and I had a good relationship all the way through, always kind and nice guy.
It's Spain and Company, Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornette on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, talking to multi-Grammy and Emmy-winning composer Mike Post, whose music makes up much of our theme song bracket. I'm seeing you produced 9 to 5 from Dolly Parton, just unbelievable. You produced Van Halen. Just an incredible career. We could talk to you about everything, but obviously we need to talk about the bracket. And I'm curious, we at home and all the people voting are going to have to narrow it down to the very best one. So if you were asked to do that, is there one of the theme songs you created for television that you are most proud of, that you think is the best?
Yeah, oh, Sarah, that's really a tough question. I mean, which of my kids do I like better? You know,
right? Exactly.
I could tell you, but I wouldn't want them to know. You know.
So, you know, what pops into your head?
Well, the first one that was a hit, I guess, would be Rockford Files, and maybe the one that sort of, you know, that maybe moved the most people might have been Hill Street Blues. But on the other hand, the one that is sort of an earworm, if you will, for the most amount of people has to be Law and Order, right? It's on the air every minute of every day. So,
yeah.
I don't know, but the truth is I like the theme on NYPD Blue as well. And, you know, I called up a buddy of mine when your producer called me, asked me if I'd be interested. I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. I absolutely love. And I said, but, you know, it's kind of a sign of the times. It shows how hard-pressed we are for any sports at this point in time. if you guys are bracketing that, you're also betting on what time the sun's going to come up and how many frogs are jumping in which pond, you know. I mean, come on.
Don't tempt us.
I'm about to say, Mike, as entertaining as this is, we might be doing this a lot
frog jumping
more than you
sounds
think
good. Yeah.
Mike, how about present? Yeah. How about present-day theme songs? You know, the stuff you listen to now, I know the art and the interest in it is not nearly as heightened as it was during the time when you really started making a name for yourself, but I still get behind a lot of the theme songs when I turn on some of my favorite shows. Are there any of the shows, if you're a TV guy watching when you're not watching sports, where you're like, I really like that theme song? That one is a favorite.
Absolutely. Just go look at Westworld. You cannot do the job that I did on network television for all these years. You can't do that job any better than that guy's doing on Westworld. It is fantastic. That's such a great main title, not only musically, but pictorially. It's just so well crafted. It's so smart. You know, it's just that's a really good piece of work. And, you know, look, it's a network decision you know, people aren't really looking at theme songs, and they switch the channel when we're doing a main title. I happen to disagree with that. I might be a little prejudiced, but, you know, people have to run the networks the way they have to. Thank God for streaming services like Netflix and others that are still believe that a piece of music can sort of define a show. And I'm glad that they feel that way. And, you know, I think that the art form, you know, just to let you know, I also do all the score for all the music in the body of the show, which is, I believe, is a really cool job. It's a really great thing to do for a living, to make the scarier parts scarier and the happier parts happier,
yeah,
and so on and so forth. And so, you know, I'm lucky enough to have done over 7,000 hours of TV, and I'm such a product of the 50s. I still love watching television. So that's where I'm at, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're grateful for it. It is so important, you know, those moments within the show too, to give people the tone of what they're watching and why they should feel the way they feel. And I just love reading your bio. Just so, you know, the Who and Pete Townsend writing a song, Mike Post theme, which, you know, is all about your ubiquity in television, and all the, you know, collaborations that you've been a part of. We're so thankful that you joined us. This was really fun. And you know what, Mike, when sports are back, we're going to have you back to talk about those too. Where this is not just a coronavirus thing. We're going to have you back on the show. We'll talk about, you know, the Dodgers and all the other LA teams, if those are your teams.
I am holding you to it. I am holding you to it. I you know, I'm a fan of you guys. Sarah, Jordan, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem. Hey, before we let you go, Sammy Hagar or David Lee Roth?
Sammy.
Ooh, that was quick. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.